He keeps himself in trim by bending bars of iron. This bar is the genuine article which we tested before he began to play with it.
Beyond the bend. Beyond the bend.
All right, we're back on Beyond the Bend. I want to welcome Phil McMahon to the show. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you very much, Cody. It's a pleasure.
Really excited to have you on, fellow bread baker.
Yeah, I see.
There's a few of us. Josh Goldthorpe and I have always just shared some strange hobbies in addition to the strange hobby of steel bending. I think on our episode together, we both found that we dabbled in a little lock picking, and there was a few other people that hit me up later like, oh, I got a lock picking kit too. So bread baking is too funny. When I saw that, I was like, that's too cool.
Oh man. Yeah, I saw Josh start posting it and I was like, oh no, here we go. Like, he's found another hobby.
So let's start it out like we always do. Tell me about the first time you saw someone bend a piece of steel.
I had to think about this because I started way back in the day. And I think it must have been in middle school when the power team, like one of those performing strongman groups, came and did a performance. And you know, tearing phone books, breaking baseball bats. And I'm pretty sure one of the things they did was like a long bar over the head. That age, I didn't think anything of it. It was cool, tore license plates, like that sort of thing. And then that just kind of like, you know, what was I, 10, 15, or 12 maybe. And that's kind of went in the back burner till high school.
Oh, crazy. Where'd you grow up? Up here in New York, I don't think we had any like power teams coming through and doing any of that stuff.
This would have been, I was in Southern California.
Okay.
In Gore Hills. And this was maybe 1999. It was interesting. Like they had a Christian message behind it. Like, but I just remember the breaking and bending.
Yeah, for sure. Some of those like demonstrations you have as a kid definitely stick out to me. I remember, like, I've been obsessed with martial arts like as long as I can remember, you know. And like we had some like Brazilian capoeira like demonstration of like the breakdancing kind of like martial art thing, and it just like blew my mind. It was like I thought it was the coolest thing ever, and I was like, that's what I want to learn.
I think that's what got me into grip sport originally. Was I was into like Shaolin Kung Fu, and I had this training book on it, and I read through it, and there was a whole section on hand strength and like putting your hands into rice and beans and doing exercises to make them stronger, and then getting up to doing it with steel shot and such like that. And I thought that was pretty cool, and I think that like flipped the switch, because that was, it was in like when I was like 15 or 16, I started getting into it.
Nice. That's cool. So it was just primarily from like martial arts training that like you found a need to do strength training, or what was like your athletic background like?
Right. Athletic background, that would have started high school. I'm 14. Mm-hmm. Through the track team mainly, where I was a sprinter and a long jump, triple jumper. A lot of explosive power. But I also like loved being in the gym 5 days a week. My favorite exercise was doing cleans.
Nice.
So we do a lot of cleans, and then Olympic weightlifting coach came by and taught us like proper technique and such. So I remember early on, like in the physical ed classes and after hours too, everyone would be at the bench press, like trying to get their upper body strong. And I was like, I'm going to go do squats and deadlifts and cleans, make that lower body strong instead.
Yeah.
Just build a foundation and just build it up. So I was kind of like a gym rat, and I enjoyed that. And then I didn't do martial arts, but I was just fascinated by it.
Yeah.
And I think it was a couple of years into that, I started getting into the wrist strength. The first thing I did was like reverse curls with the barbell to get, to like build up some new muscles and new ways. And then it all just kind of like exploded into grip land and dinosaur training and like just whatever you can lift to like do something with. And got ordered a number one and number two from Iron Mind and got John Brookfield's hand strength training book.
Nice.
And then, so then I got, I think it was through that, introduced to short steel bending, because he would do the 60 penny nails like down at his waist in there, and like pinch grip and hubbing and all these other things. And in 2003, when I was like 16, I found the grip board. There was no video, no YouTube or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Posted on a name Viking. And my first post was a steel, like a rating. I had been getting into bending and I was rating steel with a loading pin. I had a Rolling Thunder and that kind of thing.
Cool.
And then started posting some stuff, and a couple months into training, I was closing the two for reps and bending like 5.5 inch blue nails, chasing after that red.
Nice. Yeah. So what technically, you know, that's a totally different time. Like, how were you just trying to like hone your own technique, or was it the Brookfield manual? Like, how were you figuring this stuff out?
The Brookfield way, like that just seemed like he was such a weird like kind of bender back then. It was hard to even think of doing that. So it was pure wrist strength for that. First bend I did, this may have been around grip board time when I started there. So like talking 20 years ago, trying to remember, yeah. Or 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I had a 40 penny nail and I'd roll it in a dishcloth. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting on the couch with my family. We'd go watching TV in the evening. And I'm like, I guess I just like a kind of like a double overhand, sort of like no double overhand, just barely been being discovered by Pat Povilaitis, I think, and what, Nate, one of the Hall brothers around that time.
I believe that's the story.
Like, I remember like talking about Terminator Method, which was, I think, what Pat called it, was his style. Mm-hmm. And I cranked on that 40 penny nail for like a week every night, and it just wouldn't budge. Because I mean, it's a dish, it's rolling the dish towel. And then one day it just like melted. And I was like, this is the coolest feeling like ever. Put your mind to something so much. And then you feel it move and it's like, oh, got it. Like finally figured it out.
Yeah.
And that, when I got bit by the bug there. And for, that was like late 2013 or 2003, sorry.
Okay.
And then for the next 2 years, I kind of got into it, posting on grip board. Actually, no, it was only about a year, because in 2004 at the end, I fractured my wrist weightlifting. I think that put an end to the bending for a long time. But I just would do all my bends in the dish towel, that in the same dish towel, till it had like freaking holes all over it. I had Iron Mind pads, but didn't know how to use them. And like never even used them for that time, just dish towel. I actually had that dish towel until like 2 years ago, I threw it away. Mm-hmm. I generally do like a double underhand to kink it, because getting DO position just was too tough. So I kink it and then do like a DO kind of thing with some infantile technique from the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Then got up to doing short blue, like 5.5 inch blue nails, a 1/4 inch cold roll. Mm-hmm. Had the bag of nails, like went through everything except the red nails. Would cut my own stuff down and like was getting 60 penny, like properly 60 pennies. And I think the best I got to was kinking a grade 5, like a 1/4 inch, 6x1/4 inch grade 5.
Yes.
And that thing just defeated me, along with those red nails, which were, seemed impossible. With the dish towel and all that kind of stuff back then.
It's really cool to hear about like someone bending during that time, right? So it's like I think the most important or the most fascinating piece to this, like becoming aware of this and becoming immersed in this and like learning about it and all of that, the thing that's continuously sort of fascinated me is one, like the mental component to bending, two, and then two, the rate of progression attached to just like seeing what others are doing, like whether that's honing your technical ability or just sort of like once it's been done, it's then possible kind of thing, you know? So it's like thinking about you bending in those early days is just like so crazy to think about, just like on your own with no reference except potentially like some little blurb someone may have sent you on the grip board or some still pictures in a manual. Just like figuring it out like yourself is just so cool to think about. And I oftentimes think about the guy, his first name's Stan, his last name starts with a T. I believe he was the first person to snap a gold nail. And I was just thinking about, I've done that. It sucks. It's like,
sounds terrible.
And I just can't imagine like what that was like doing it that first time. Cause like you're sort of motivated by knowing that others have done it. Right. And if you're just like in the dark, totally alone like that, like it's just so fascinating to think about that versus now where I feel like even since the start of the 2020 or whatever during the pandemic and when I started this and just the progression in bending just seemed like so astronomical. And it's so interesting to think about those early days when you're just figuring it out on your own. It's cool to think about.
Yeah, I think nowadays the communication, the ease of sharing videos, Instagram, like where we can just instantly see what everyone's doing, mm-hmm. Makes it so much easier. And yeah, back then I read through some of the archives on the grip board of like what was I doing? What was I talking to? I remember I found some thread where on the forum his name was Shrug. I can't remember who he is, but he was bending like short red nails and like moving towards the edge and bolt, like a grade 5/5/16. And this was back, like, I think he did that in 2011, was it? When they bent the first edge? I don't remember when the first, maybe it wasn't that late, but
yeah.
And we were saying like, are you gonna go for that? And then Clay Edge and pops in on the commentary and says some stuff like, those are some beasts. And I'm thinking like that was the pinnacle. Yeah. At that time. And I would look at like a quarter inch grade 8 and be like, that thing is impossible. Golden bolt is not going to move.
Yeah.
It's just like figuring out like the dish towel is not optimal, but it made my hands like brutally tough. And I think back then doing all that, like no padding training kind of gave a lot of the technique was not like proper DO or so much upper body. It was a lot more wrist oriented and built ligaments and tendons that stayed with me even when I took a 15-year hiatus from bending.
Right. So you got injured and that's what prompted the break, basically?
I think that is what happened. I mean, that was senior year of high school. At this time, the last 2 years of high school, I moved from jumping to shot put. And I was just focused on shot put, though I'd still been, like sometimes at a meet go and like just sign up for the triple jump on my own. And I think I even scored points once, just didn't tell my coach, I just signed up for it and like got third. I was like, all right. Yeah. But the shot put was the main thing. And going into my senior year season in the winter, right the day before winter break, I was doing cleans in the gym. And I was really adept, well, maybe not in this case, at getting under the bar real deep. And as I was doing that, my elbow coming around hit my leg, so all the weight just went back and snapped, dislocated my hand up and back, and it was stuck there like this. And I grabbed it. I was like, "Oh, things, it's not moving." I could feel the ends of my various bones, and found luckily the athletic trainer had just returned to get her jacket or something. Like, Brenda, popped it right back into place, and I was like, oh, back. So it's fractured on the growth plate, but then I was casted, and that thing hurt quite a bit. And it was like right before this break and then the start of the season. So I was like, oh my gosh. And obviously not going to be bending much.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that's kind of where it went kaput. And then I continued training like with weight belts and stuff because I was just so gung-ho at wanting to keep fit and keep in shape.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the shot put season went well once it healed up. But like I dabbled in bending for maybe a couple years and like nothing consistent, nothing motivated. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, and then stopped for till, what, two years ago now? A year and a half ago, maybe?
Gotcha. So what was filling the void during that long hiatus?
Yeah, I got into running like half marathons, trail runs and that kind of thing. Kind of tapered out of the gym over the 2 years after high school, going to college and working, and it was getting more into endurance running. And then at some point I was doing a lot of trail half marathons, and at some point I was like, I should get on the bike to build my aerobic fitness, and then fell in love with the bike, and then did basically just bike training for, I still do. I mean, it just hasn't left, but there was a period of, 5 to 10 years where I was commuting by bike every day. I, mid 20 teens, I was, riding up to 20 hours a week.
Wow.
I got into ultra endurance. So on the weekend, a training ride might be 200-mile ride, get up at 4 a.m. and get back after dark. It was like a whole world. And I didn't set foot, I like barely touched a gym for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Became like a skinny, lean road cyclist. Went from 225 to 175 body weight.
Oh, wow.
So
it's a big change. And what are you now?
Right around 200.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Oh. Yeah, I love, it's just like, to say you're into steel bending, like, says something, right? I love the fact that I get on these podcasts and I just know what I'm going to get with every steel bender. It's going to be like, I got into something and then I biked 200 miles, It's just like the extreme level of, it's like few understand it. And I just love like hearing that, because it doesn't need to be the activity. It's just the mentality. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That, the rest of the world frankly doesn't understand. Every time my wife is like explaining like whatever I do, she's like, yeah, when Cody gets into things, he just like really gets into them. Like, she says it with this like sinister tone, kind of like, he's like a little crazy. And I'm just like,
yeah, there's a consistent screw loose among all of us, I think.
It's like, I feel like you could look at it that way, or just like we somehow have like tapped into like, what maybe others are looking for, and they just can't like sort of like figure it out, because there's just like something within us that like push us toward these like extreme versions of whatever it is. And it doesn't mean it has to be like quote unquote extreme sport, whatever, or right. Just like that level of passion. I've said it many times on the podcast, but it's like that is something I can relate to, like passion, deep passion, bordering on like crazy levels of anything is something I can relate to, and it's cool. I like hearing that.
It's cool. Definitely. And the cycling took off with that sort of thing. Like I've done like Everesting rides where you ride the accumulated elevation gain of Mount Everest, 21,400 feet. So I've done a few of the, like, I did one of those, like, before Everesting was a thing. It's like now a thing.
Okay.
A whole bunch of rides where I just do like hill repeats for 12 hours and like these bizarre things. People are like, why on earth would you do that? Yeah, just always trying to push that limit, or like see what I can do and see what I can handle. So like when I to San Diego and I didn't have a car at the time. I just rode my bike, but I felt kind of confined. So I rode my bike just everywhere in the entire county to like get a sense of like where I was living. And it was, yeah, it was kind of an odd.
I respect it, man. So did you take up swimming too? Did you ever do any like triathlon things?
No, I didn't. I would still do some running, especially in the 2019, 2020, when I did like this whole keto experiment as well, and would do runs and bike rides like on with no food and just water. And so I do running in that, but swimming, like, nah, even though I lived in like at the beach and would go to the water, just didn't.
Yeah,
an appeal. But like I, as a training just for fun, like I took a week off work, and on the Saturday I went and ran a marathon, just fasted with no, just water and electrolytes. And I ran up this mountain, this 10-mile climb, I gained 4,500 feet, ran along the ridge, and then ran back down in like 4 hours. Like, I just want to run a marathon. Let's just run up this mountain. And then the next weekend, I did like a 170-mile bike with 25,000 feet of climbing on these hills. And just like, that was my little vacation for me. And yeah, I'd still do the running. And then kept the biking up until, and then moved to Utah, where I live now.
Okay.
And yeah,
so what sparked the comeback to bending?
I honestly can't even recall. Like, it was like one moment I was like, I should try that again. It seems like see what's going on in the community.
Yeah.
Because surely much has evolved. And I think I messaged Wanna Grip on the Grip board, whoever runs it, one of them guys, and was like, hey, I can't remember my password because this was in, or my email, because this was, or if there even was, like, I don't even know, this was 2005 when I was like last logged in. I'm like, can I reactivate my account? And we chatted for a while and got my account back and started seeing what was going on, and looked on YouTube, got some steel and got some iron mine pads, and found out how to actually use them, like how to wrap the barrel to the ends of the bar. And then just kind of like got gung ho in it and started doing it once or twice a week, basically till now. And it just like flipped a switch. Something happened.
Awesome. How did you finally figure out how to wrap properly?
It must have been YouTube. Like, how now it was easy, like,
yeah
and perusing the grip board and seeing like what are the benders doing now and how are they doing it.
Yeah, nice.
And then saw like, oh, this makes a lot of sense. So I came back like, oh, you have rubber bands, oh, you use chalk, you wrap them tight. It's like all these basic things that just back then, like, I'd be in the dish towel, no chalk, no nothing. Like, after a session my palms might have like a giant blister that big. I have one now, but that's from my other recent stuff. But yeah. And then the comeback was like fascinating too, because I didn't know like how this would go. I'd been biking for 15 years. I had no upper body strength besides basic. And I have a traumatic injury in my clavicle, so it's non-union. And my left arm is just a lot different than my right in terms of doing things. So when I started bending, like my deltoids, like one was like, I think I had a minor tear here, and it was just trying to like get these muscles back working. And like my previous bests were kinking like a grade 5.
Yeah.
And doing 60 Ds, and I got like 40 Ds, got some cold roll, quarter inch, and started back at it. And then within like 3 weeks, I was doing the 60 Ds again. I did a grade 5. I was like, oh wow, like I'm already back to beyond where I was, well, proper wrapping and techniques. And then 2 days later did the grade eight at the quarter inch. It was like, whoa, all right, we're like, this is great. We're moving somewhere. And then I know after the grade eight, it's like, it's getting into red nail territory now. We're getting up there.
All this man strength I got now that I'm in my 30s.
And the bike is so mental, like enduring pain and hardship and difficulty. It was like, you have to do that in a bend too. It's just really concentrated to about 2 seconds.
For sure. So did you mix that with getting on Instagram and sort of like getting a lay of the land and seeing who was doing what? Like, how did you get onto like Pareto and all of this stuff?
Yeah, that I think would happen later over the summer, because I was just doing it on my own with the insight of now how to do it again, and just doing it in single Ironmind pads. Mm-hmm. And it had to be YouTube, I think, was when I reconnected, when I started like getting involved in the community. And I'm pretty sure it was seeing Chaz Strange do like a moose bar. Cool. And seeing that, like seeing his videos and following him, and then following some other benders that started on YouTube, because I didn't know the community was all on Instagram at this time.
Yeah.
And I had used my Instagram in 2014 for biking stuff, and then just kind of never really used it much. Mm-hmm. And it was probably over that early summer last year. Yeah. That I found the Instagram, started looking around there, was chasing, like the moose bar looked terrifying at first. I'm like, that I saw Chaz struggling with it back then. And it was like so shiny, like the cold world steel on that thing is so shiny. I'm like, damn, it must be some tough stuff.
Yeah.
So I found Ben Sport Canada and Harito and ordered stuff from them. Started with the, I think I like certing and then getting into the certs and stuff. And that's kind of when things started taking off a lot.
Yeah. Was that probably wasn't really a thing back when you started, right? Like, was there any roster kind of thing going on?
Red Nail.
That was it, huh?
That was it, I believe. And then there were like, I think there was some talk about some other cert bends with Iron Mind around that time too.
So Fat Bastard wasn't a thing yet?
What was that?
The Fat Bastard list wasn't a thing, or was it?
They were, yeah. Now that I recall, because I did order steel from them, and a shirt and like some thick grip dumbbell handles and I remember getting their cold roll steel and square and ordering their steel. So they were active. They were actually active. which was nice. So yeah, I think it was just those two. There might have been a couple others, but
yeah, there's so many that I've heard come up on the show that just seemed like they were short-lived, you know, like I can't even remember the names now, you know.
And I think a lot of those you would cert in person with someone.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't you couldn't record too much on like, you didn't have cell phone cameras really.
Yeah.
And YouTube wasn't really there, so it was hard to.
It's so funny trying to navigate. I remember like prior to really finding the community on Instagram, trying to find like real steel bending on YouTube, because like you type in nail bending, like you get a bunch of goofy stuff. Like it's really hard to like find. It was on there for sure, but like I couldn't find like what I was actually looking for, you know, like I just like couldn't figure out the right words to search or something, where you know, I'd just get like some strange dude like circus type thing like bending just like a regular nail or what. It was just like I couldn't find the stuff I was looking for. So that's like when I started the bending tips whole thing, that was like I was hoping that would be easier for people to like navigate when they were looking for a technique or whatever, because it's like pretty weird how it works to like try to find stuff on there, you know.
Yeah, you end up with like some industrial steel shaping.
Yeah.
I was like, no, but, yeah, not exactly. Josh, not Josh Goldthorpe.
Yeah. So so then you were just off, basically. You like got stoked on doing the rosters, and that's how.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, and like started with, was it probably the Moose Bar stuff, maybe the Jarrito. I was like cert on the Moose, and then the cut, the 6.5 Moose, and I think I did a 6-inch Moose before I even did a red, because the red nail had so much mental intimidation from seeing that thing 20 years ago and being like, how?
Yeah.
I would attack those and just have like the mental block, mm-hmm. get them kinked, but then couldn't finish them. And then finally like got it done. And I think at that time I was doing a lot of suede over iron line pads, got into doubles. I think Instagram was going, and I turned my Instagram into just a steel bending Instagram at that time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the cert lists were fun, and putting things on YouTube, and the German bolts were always really cool to get from Jan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like something exotic and unusual to bend.
Yeah, for sure. During this time, you're pretty much doing it twice a week. Have you always kind of like, since you've been back, say like adhered to about twice a week, or what's the frequency look like?
Yeah. I'd probably, when I first started, I would do these mega sessions where I would go 3-4 hours of like in an afternoon of just doing a huge volume of like near, like I always like to push near limit bends. So it would be like a big fight and kind of like recover and then do another one and kind of recover and just take like a whole afternoon and just attack it. And then I'd have to recover for like 4 days to do it again.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun because you just get to destroy so much steel in one session. You're looking at, I mean, you see the photos on the Instagram early on where it's just like a table full of all these big pieces that are bent, and like once, twice a week. Still not going to the gym. I still haven't gone to the gym really. In the beginning, I did a little bit of, I had like one 35 pound kettlebell. I just do a little bit of supplementary and then some sledge levering and like some doing exercises with a sledgehammer just to build up a little strength. Mm-hmm. But the bending was my main strength, my main almost sole builder of strength and power to do it.
Yeah. Nice. And were you playing around with any other styles, or had you pretty much found your groove with double overhand and were sticking with it?
I got pretty hooked on double overhand and double wraps.
Like yeah.
Big pads, just wanting to do bigger pieces. Mm-hmm. It was like in whatever way I could. And it was learning the double overhand, watching like Derek Graybill do all of his stuff and seeing like, oh, what is he bending? Like, okay, like want to do some stuff like that. So how do you do that? Some reverse, I can't do double under. It my ulna, like,
yeah,
it's not fun. Yeah. I might train it at some point a little bit, just, but it's not pleasant. I can't do anything with it. But reverse is kind of fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, almost strictly double overhand in terms of short bar bending.
Yeah, reverse was one, like, in the beginning, I was like, I hate this so much. It's just so difficult, you know? And it's like, it just take, you can't really, like, cheat with anything else besides your hand strength, I get, and wrist strength. But then I really grew to love reverse. Like, and it's just funny how, like, things change, your perspective on things changes like that. And
In the, like, during the first few months of getting back to it, I think I have a video of like doing a 60D reverse just real casually. And it's like, that feels pretty cool.
Yeah.
I would like to focus on building that up a bit better. Cause. I the reason I got into it was for the wrist strength and the hand strength particularly. And with the double overhand, it's so much a full body movement now that it's kind of lost some of that flair, but I like to get, that's why I've been doing a lot of minimal pad stuff lately as well.
Yeah, I saw that. That's cool. I like anytime like I see people in the community like just trying out different things, you know, like I feel like ever since getting involved with this, I thought it was cool that there were so many kind of avenues you could take with it to, you know, keep it fresh. Like that's like in jujitsu, right? Like I was talking about that and people have this like great discussion of whether like gi or no gi jujitsu, like the uniform, right? And I just like that you can do both, right? Like I guess like it just like makes it more cool stuff to learn. And that's like what I feel about steel bending in general is like the horseshoes create another element, right? And the mid-length stuff and the, you know, there's just like all these different avenues you can take, including steel scrolling and all of that. It's like enough to really keep you interested if you're open to changing it up like that.
Yeah, minimal pad, bare hands, snapping.
Yep, yeah, for sure. Combo feats, like David Horn's page. I don't know if you've looked at that too much, but he just has all these awesome grip feats and including some like strength and snapping or bending feats that really kept me very busy during the depth of the pandemic, which was a lot of fun on there. What about, so with the 2 days, as long as you kind of, would you need to do anything for recovery? Do you do anything for recovery? Or?
Nothing specific. So, like I think I recall David Wiegren saying that he would like do the hot cold for his forearms. And so I did that in the beginning for a little while and that felt pretty good, especially after those big sessions, like 4 hours of suffering in there, like it hurt and that felt good.
Yeah.
I work a job, I work in a hospital and I'm on my feet like all day walking around, moving materials and getting things. So I'm like constantly active. So it's kind of like flushes things out rather than getting stale and like and tight or anything. So I feel like that whole combo works pretty well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, haven't had too many, just like minor injuries. Like I think the deltoid was the worst, where it was like 3 weeks of, I gotta just let this thing stop screaming at me.
Yep, yep. And so what are some, what's the bend basically at this time that you feel like you're most proud of? And then let's talk about ones you're hoping to take down in the future.
Oh man. Well, the 8.8 cert was like something I trained, like I was working to get that by the end of last year and did it in the beginning of December. And so that one is definitely the big one. And then was like 2 millimeters from the 8.8 at 6.5. Wow. And the same with the Nibelungen. I got it to like 2.25 inch and I just could not finish that crush like several times and then just kind of got frustrated with it. But probably my favorite would be the triple snap of the horseshoe.
When
I got into horseshoes for whatever reason. It just seemed like cool. I think it was actually Leonardo da Vinci used to bend horseshoes with his hands back in the day. I was like, that is like, I got to try that. I got way into horseshoes and then snapping and then horseshoe snapping. And that became like one of my favorite things to do. But that triple snap, man, that.
It's so hard.
That one was like, just feels relentless.
Yeah, for sure.
And you can't stop. You gotta commit. Otherwise, you're not gonna get it.
Yeah, yeah.
How it felt, at least.
Yep, snapping horseshoes. That's tough, man. Yeah. That was. I butchered my hands the worst. Oh,
yeah.
Snapping one of those. The only time it was worse is when I did this like I snapped like 24 grade eights for budget. Thing and my hands were like raw meat or something. They were like so nasty.
Yeah, the first horseshoe snap was like took like 30 minutes and I you know, at 25 minutes in I was just so exhausted at this effort And I just sat down and put it down. It was like, I don't think I can do this. And sat there for like 5 minutes. And I was like, no, I'm going to do this. And I got up and I looked at it and I was inspecting it where I was trying to snap it. And I'm looking at the nail holes. I'm like, wait a sec, this thing is like completely cracked apart. Like it's about to blow. And I got back on it and started doing the thing again. And
there's something so funny that I noticed from just like doing a lot of snapping and watching a lot too, is like, you can see when someone's like spirit is sort of breaking, because like you just start obsessively checking for cracks and you're like, and if it's like a timed thing for like David's list or something, like you're just wasting all of this time, but you just like crush it and then like inspect it. It's like, all right, one more time. Oh, it's got something there, like looking in the light and everything, like wiping chalk off. And it's just like, there's nothing there yet.
Okay, at your limit. You're like, come on.
Just show me a little crack.
It feels like I did the grade, I did a snap earlier, a couple days ago, like the grade 8. And I was like, I have never snapped grade 8. So I wasn't sure what this kind of like. I figured it wouldn't be too bad. Just sometimes with graded bolts just go.
Yeah.
When I was working, I'm like, is this thing going to snap? Thankfully, one of them was just like, pop. I was like, ah, all right, got it. Like
blow apart. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I was, if I ever did, like, I don't know what the context would be of doing this, but I thought it would be a neat feat to, because those grade eights snap fast, like once you get them moving, right?
Yeah.
I was thinking you could give someone like a hacksaw and a grade 8 and a vise, right? And be like, all right, like, I'm going to race you, you know, like you try to saw this in half and I'm going to do it by hand and break it in half and let's see who wins, right? Because I know I can do them in like 15, 20 seconds. And like, you can't saw through it that fast. And it would just be like such a funny like illusion. Like,
you get it in 15 or 20 seconds. Are you closing it between your legs?
Leg crush and thigh open.
That's how I pretty much always, except for like, the nails, I would do it like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once a year, David Horn does these Usain bolt offs during the winter. And it'll be like, you know, snap a grade 5, like one of his rated grade 5s for time, or it would do it lying on your back, or he did like snap a grade 5 in 3 pieces or whatever. And, you know, it was everybody would compete, you know, and like he would have like the leaderboard and stuff like that. So that's when I really got into snapping that stuff like really fast. Yeah, so much technique, and your wraps make like the biggest difference. Like if they slip even slightly, like if you, so when you roll up for a snap, I prefer suede from David Horn. And like I learned from Dan Dring, like once you have it wrapped and you're ready to start snapping it, like twist it on the end, right, both sides, and if there's any movement, like you gotta wrap it again. Like it needs to be so solid, so because you can't lose any leverage from the wrap twisting while you're snapping. So yeah. Like you have to like be so like, it's like more of a workout to wrap the fucking thing than to snap it, you know, but it makes all the difference.
Yeah. Sometimes the wrapping can be so much wrapping for like a 5 second bend. It's like,
yeah, you get like this crazy warm pump, like before you even get going. But,
gotta get it just like, I spent a lot of time like focusing on getting wrap technique down and experimenting with different wraps and how to do it. And was like neurotic about making it as tight as possible and creating those like best things just for my like cert bends and all that kind of stuff. And
it matters. I really think it matters. Like a nice tight wrap, like that's matters. Yeah, it
feels like you feel you're more secure with it. It feels like you're doing the work.
I remember Delmar Carter, because he did like a Hurrito A2 at like 3.5 inches or 4 inches, like double underhand. And he was saying that it's all in the wrapping. Like that's like, I remember him saying it was something to do with like how he could wrap it was the way that like it even made it possible to like do it that short. I forget what exactly, but
yeah.
All right, we're gonna start wrapping up. I'll take you through the medley here. So favorite material to bend?
Cold roll steel.
Hardest material to bend for you?
stainless, that crush just, maybe the big graded bolts, but stainless has always been like the nemesis.
Have you got your hands on any of the GBI stuff?
When I was looking into it, they were closed temporarily due to the price of the stock going up so much.
Yeah, yeah.
They use C45 steel, which is a medium carbon cold roll. So it feels like a stainless, except through the whole bend. I've got some C45 from Mate Kovacs in Japan. They have a bunch of weird stuff in Japan. Oh, so cool. I got to experience some of it, and it's brutal.
Yeah, I remember I only had like one or two sent to me from somebody, maybe Gil Goodman or something. And those just felt so hard to like complete the crush. I remember like kinking it like, oh, wow, I'm surprised by this kink. And then like just suffering through the rest of it. Like, yeah. Just, strongest bending style, double overhand.
or snapping maybe.
weakest bending style.
Double under, yeah.
Have you done much braced outside of the horseshoes?
A couple long bar, but nah, I was so focused on double overhand. Like I was very zeroed in, just double overhand all the way. And then the horseshoes on the side, like both of those were, they don't really interfere with each other too much. And I haven't done, it's something to look into in the future.
Yeah, I'd like to see, take down some like the 5/8, you know, like a sub 30 5/8, like that. I felt like that was like the most like full body intensive style, you know, like because you're threading it between your legs, you're hooking it in the crook of your elbow, and you're like doing a contraction the whole time and like staying. I remember just feeling like very beat up, like almost like I'd been in a fight, you know, after some of that stuff. And it's the puzzle of it, because it's a little bit different for everybody, and you can watch everybody's technique with it. I thought that was pretty cool stuff. So you definitely try that out eventually.
Yeah, I gotta do more.
About something outside of strength training and steel bending that you enjoy. I guess we covered it with the bread baking. About another one.
Bread baking, played chess, guitar, sourdough, and bike riding. I've got a lot of random hobbies.
What's the one bend that's got away so far? Is it the Nibelungen, or is there another one?
Nibelungen's kicking my butt. I probably have to go with that, because that one was so close. Like back in the day, it would have been that grade 5 or red nail, which was like the thing is just impossible.
Any intention of certing the red nail now that your buddy London has done it?
Yeah, get all of us besties just lined up there on the Iron Mind. Maybe now that I'm doing all this minimal pad stuff, it might just fit in. I'll eventually start trying some bastard length see how it goes. Why not? I mean, it doesn't.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Who's the strongest person you know?
It's in strength land, it's tough because I haven't had much interaction, but there was a road cyclist I used to ride with back in the day. He was like a Race Across America record holders, and he would do these ultra distance rides at like 500 miles or 800 miles solo and break course records. And I remember doing a 200 mile training ride with him, and you'd be like 100 miles into the ride out in the deserts, 90 degrees. And they'd be coming up to like this 2 mile hill, and he would just like look back and just rip it apart. And we're like, who are you? He had some crazy, like during one of his races, it got altitude sickness, had to go to the ER, get IV fluid, and then got back on his bike and finished the race.
Nice. All right. How about best piece of advice you're ever given?
Oh, that's a tough one. probably like work on yourself first. If you take care of yourself, then you can take care of others. But if you're a mess yourself, you're just going to cause more harm than good. So
All right. And if you could bend steel with one person anywhere, who would it be?
Ooh. I wanna see Josh in action.
Nice.
Josh Goldthorpe up close.
Up close and in person.
Yeah. You're like, what? How?
And what's the funniest reaction a person has had when they find out you spend your time bending nails?
Oh man, when I started getting back into it, I would show people at work.
Yeah.
And I work in surgery, I work in the OR, and be showing the nurses this, and they kind of knew I was doing it. So I brought in a 60 penny and just like wrapped it in an OR towel.
Right.
And just like bent it the reverse style. And they, two of them were like watching me. They're like, you should start an OnlyFans and just do that, but without a shirt and like put on a mask or something, because people don't, they were just like deadpan serious about it.
That's a great one. That's a good answer. All right. Who's someone you'd like to see me have on the show?
Chaz Strange. He's all been right, doing we'll a ton it. Of grip stuff. That would complete the besties. I think we would all have been on. Yeah. And then also Mate Kovacs, and does a ton of ridiculous double underhand stuff and a ton of other grip stuff.
Okay, did cool.
The stainless hex double under. He was working on, we were both moving towards the 8.8 at the same time.
Nice.
So he's close to that too.
All right. And any tips or advice for beginner benders?
Wraps. Technique and it's going to be important, and yeah, have fun with it and don't like overdo it.
Yeah,
for sure. It's a long progression of like, there's so much to bend, especially once you get to like 5/16th level, it's like the whole world opens up and then you're actually starting. So like, learn the basics to get to, you know, red nail size, and then you'll have a lot of fun with it.
Totally. All right, man, we're gonna wrap it up there. It was a lot of fun hanging out and talking with you. And anything you want to say in closing?
No, just thank you for coming back and doing this again. I appreciate it, having the opportunity. And yeah, it's fun to see the community thriving and a lot of like up and coming bending stuff going on. And I think the next 2 years are gonna be pretty epic.
For sure. All right, everybody, listen to Stones of Strength podcast, and I will talk to you soon. Thanks, Phil.
Take care. Thank you.